May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel for such there is room. Overwhelmed with sorrow for sin will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 1104.
Let us read together, firstly from the first book of Kings, from chapter 8, commencing at verse 11. The first book of Kings, chapter 8, from verse 11. Read from verse 10, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And spake Solomon The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house in the name of the Lord God of Israel, and I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servant, that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou hast kept with thy servant David my father that thou promisedest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore, now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. We read from verse 29, that thine eyes may be open toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of that which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication thy servants and of thy people Israel, and they shall pray toward this place or in this place. And hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. We turn to the book of Psalms. We read the 132nd Psalm. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. No, we heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne for evermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest for ever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp or candle for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Most holy and gracious God, may we have that fear of the Lord very much in our hearts, to bow humbly, not with pretence, not with custom only, but under a sense of thy greatness. May we also know thy nearness with sinners. May the great God of heaven deal with our sin and unbelief. May we know a little sweet rising up, Lord, by faith, and that deliverance from captivity, and that sweet victory which thou dost give to thy people over sin by the person of the Saviour. We need real things. Lord, we seek that thou grant thy presence. Lord, we have thy word and truth. We have the sacred word that we need the Lord to be in it for our souls. Lord, we need thee to show thyself as thou dost not to the world through the letters. We may breathe that different air that we sing of. We may venture hard. Though we have read of that thick darkness, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Oh, we would seek, Lord, that thou shine and grant a little sweet knowledge of thee, Saviour. May we be able to believe. Lord, not only may we be favoured, but may we go home with something. May we, the Lord, graciously grant to us those renewings and those comforts as we have sung. Lead us to the rock. That rock was Christ. Lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Or may we know it of the truth. And do grant, O Lord, that help to come, pleading mercy, and seeking hard unto thee for thy favour in the man. May we, like Jacob's sons, have to go down to Joseph and seek mercy in the man, as dear Jacob bid them so to do. May the Lord be with us, leave us not. We seek, Lord, that thou bless each one. We pray for those that are cast down, that there may be a sweet lifting up. Any, Lord, that are very low, may the Lord appear to them. Any, Lord, that are troubled, to grant that peace in thy word, so that they may say, even the wind and the sea obey him. We pray, Lord, for this house of prayer. We seek to come, Lord, as one that is sent of God. We have a message of God unto thee, oh, leave us not. Leave us not, Lord, but we pray that we may all be one, low at the feet of Jesus. Now, Lord, wilt be with us each, from the youngest to the oldest, and those, Lord, that especially need thy gracious help. Remember the deacons and be round about them continually. Bless this people, we lovingly commend them unto thee. We pray, Lord, that thou be round about them and the little ones. And in the Sabbath school, may the Lord be precious. May there be young hearts that are touched, and keep them well as they grow up. When the world beckons, be round about them. And Lord, do keep us from the spirits of this world and that desire to prosper. Lord, although right in its place, may we rather prosper. The grace of the Lord in our hearts. With thee, dear Apostle. When he spoke of all things dung and dross compared to Christ. And we do pray, Lord, that thou'lt hear us for our nation. And the best we can pray, Lord, is the Lord may return to the churches and the candle may shine the brighter. The Lord may be pleased to remember us still, but watch over us. Lord, do overrule and do grant us help to seek, Lord, that thou wilt preserve us, but do bless thy word. and deliver us from the very spirit of Antichrist, which is so strong, and yet thou art able. We desire, Lord, now to feel that unction and savour of thy word when the Lord speaks it, to fill the aching heart, to come, Lord, and revive the fallen, and to grant a sweet word in season with that savour of that precious name. And grant, O Lord, we may come and say with the one of old, I will not let thee go. And in the same spirit, that woman that came so very much at the border of his garment, may we come like that. May the Lord be with us. We seek thy presence. Remember the sick and the afflicted, one dear to us. We pray that thou wilt remember us continually. Do grant thy blessing. Remember our aged friend. We desire to bring her unto thee, seeking, Lord, that thou art graciously come and leave a very clear blessing in our heart that shall redound to thy honour and glory. How we would rejoice. We seek that thou art remember us as we come, and may there be one more, even Jesus, and do receive us. We ask that thou would hear us in thy high abode. Leave us not to rest on any other foundation than Jesus Christ and him crucified. May we know a little sweetness this evening in the gospel. Oh, the sweet truth of it to sinners. The power of it and the precious blood of Christ that speaketh better things than that of Abel. O Lord, do apply it. May God be with us. May the Lord appear. May we prevail with dear Jacob. May the Lord arise, hear prayer. Come, Lord, and grant that blessing of him that lifted up his hands and blessed them. We need that blessing this evening. Do hear us, Lord. Come where we are. Leave us not to form without the power, or to know what is right and feel it not. We pray for application. Seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember each case and each need, and do bless the church and the congregation, and we pray that thou wilt be with us as we humbly desire to fall at Jesus' feet. May the Lord be with us of a truth. We ask for that enlargement and seek that forgiveness of mighty sins through the very person of the dear Redeemer. May faith prevail, we ask, in that worthy, precious, exalted name of Jesus. For his sake we would plead, not our own. Amen.
Hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. 711.
much dependence upon the help of God, I will turn with you to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. You read there from verses 14 and 15. Psalm 132. Verses 14 and 15. This is my rest for ever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. These words seem to be somewhat upon my mind. We do need the Lord to grant his blessed spirit. We read these words, they belong to David's greater son. Much is said of David and his afflictions. And it speaks of his great desire, the fear of the Lord ruling in his heart, the grace of God abounding. And yet he was a poor sinner. And God did not appoint that he should build the house or the temple. There was to be a demonstration of God's great sovereignty. And a greater than Solomon himself is here. In the words that surround our text, it speaks of that longing heart. Perhaps there are a few here this evening, like David, that would seek the Lord to graciously be with them. In David's heart, there was a desire for a place for the Lord. And for the ark to be restored and to be set up once more, a lively type of the blessing of the Lord and the Lord's favour, and the Lord to be with his people, how much more to those like David that do see the Lord to remember them. Arise, O Lord, enter into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. We notice then in the setting of the text, it speaks of longing desires. And those seekings unto God in a time when he may be found. May the Lord grant a sweet encouragement to those that may seek the Lord to visit them. Come once more and grant a sweet knowledge of the Lord himself, pleading the Lord's mercy and truth. And then it speaks so much of the very person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If ever there's a psalm that speaks of it in a very sacred way, abundantly revealing the author of these words, it is this psalm that speaks of the Lord himself. He has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. And then we read, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. It seems to me to bring before us in the very truth of the gospel such a wonderful, blessed truth. Whatever God should dwell amongst his people, and this rest is spoken of in Zion. But I want to notice these words here, this is my rest forever, in those thoughts that seem to rest and abide in my heart. Here is the divinity of the Most High God, but it speaks of Christ, how he rests in the Godhead. Blessed be God. This is my rest forever. There's a sweetness in it. That glorious person in whom the Trinity of persons that have graciously covenanted concerning the church, that this one should be exalted. One so great and blessed of God in the Trinity of persons. We have before us this greatness of this Trinity because Christ is the sum of it. We sometimes sing, don't we, of him that is exalted above the rest. That is, in the hymn it's spoken of concerning the worship of God. But then there is a most sacred truth that he is exalted and made known in the Godhead. The Father lovingly has made him known. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a glorious, sacred revealing of him. I was thinking of this word, and it seemed to rest upon my mind. Or what sweet doctrines of blessed truth are contained in these words, and all for poor sinners. I want to dwell for a few moments this evening upon this word in the very truth of the gospel. It is he that speaks, that was from everlasting, and yet is gloriously revealed in the condescending of our God in the very person of the Son of God, the Son of Man. We rested with the Father and the blessed Spirit of truth that loves to reveal this glorious one and make him known to poor sinners. That is the sacred, blessed work and witness of God himself in the very person, I must say, of the blessed Spirit. And yet he will not speak of himself. Oh, but what a revealing. That's what we need, isn't it? A little sweet knowledge. Some of us do. A little sweet revealing in the thick darkness. A little sweet nearness of this one that is spoken of here. This is my rest forever. Be a mercy if we can find a little of this rest this evening that is spoken of here for poor sinners. I do love doctrine. Ah, this speaks of him who is that glorious one resting in the Godhead. Where would we be if it were not so? And what the blessed truths are contained in this glorious one that is revealed and speaks of resting also in Zion with poor guilty sinners, where they're gathered together, where the Lord will dwell. And we have the truth of it concerning eternal realities. Forever will he dwell. He is God, isn't he? The Lord reveal it to us. Oh, but to know something of this resting of this glorious one in Zion. That's where I want to come. So poor. Friends, a little knowledge of this resting of Christ with the church of God, so that they shall be blessed. Friends, there's nothing here whatsoever of offering this glorious one. The gospel is far more precious than that. He reveals himself. This is my rest. And really, it is that condescending love and mercy, isn't it? Though he is gloriously viewed in that trinity of persons, dwelling in that great and glorious holiness, one with the Father and the Spirit, that there's something more, isn't there? He says, this is my rest forever, ever here will I dwell. In my little understanding, it speaks of what God is pleased to do, to dwell among his church, to be found that glorious one that oft revealed himself and granted that sweet touch. What characters came unto him? You know, really, in the gospel, it speaks of him seeking out and saving which was lost. And in my understanding of it, it is the very counsel of Jehovah to bring back those sinners in the counsels of love and mercy that God has a people unknown to us, but the fruits of that knowledge and blessing are in the return of the prodigal. Not to propose by poor sinners, no, but calling by grace. And that is a very sacred work, isn't it, of the Lord, to remember those that remember him not. They've got nothing to give, and we would not preach that they have anything to give. Neither can they receive him without the blessed Spirit of truth. And the Father sweetly appoints this one for the objects of his love. He speaks so much here of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ resting. That is, it's his work, isn't it? And this condescension. And the truth of it is made known to poor sinners. And it is that work of grace divine, isn't it? In the appointments of the Lord concerning his dear people. Now let none think that doctrine keeps any from closing with Christ or anything which is of a legal, hard, carnal manner at all. Friends, I think it was said in the vestry to the Lord that it's a matter of sovereign grace from first to last. And that is our mercy. So my thoughts have gone to this word in blessed doctrine, and I desire to speak of it also with regard to the Lord and his people, for they're one. According to the blessed truth here, he will bless the poor and be with those and rest in that sacred, blessed covenant of his grace with poor and needy sinners. The word, I turned it down in the vestry. For thus saith the high and lofty one. There can be none greater. That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell, or I rest, in the high and holy place with him also. Now, friends, what room is there for the creature to commend or to present himself before the most high and holy one? It's the Lord, isn't it, that is pleased to reveal himself in that glorious person of the Saviour. We preach this gospel, desire to preach it in the purposes of God's rich grace, and the truth of it is this: it is by their fruits ye shall know them. It speaks here, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive, that's a good word, isn't it? The spirits of the humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Well, the truth is that these characters here that he dwell with are those that are brought to Zion. And they shall come. The Lord will bring them to Zion and cast up the way. I was thinking of that truth. Cast up the highway. It is that way, isn't it, whereby God will bring his people. And it's all of his mercy and rich grace. Now what we need, friends, is the Lord to grant us a sweet interest in it. This is my rest forever. Now, I believe it is right to say that the Lord in his dealings with his people will not leave them to rest on any false refuge. He will not leave them to rest and build upon something base. I want to be ever so clear about it. Frames and feelings are most needful. That's not our foundation. The Lord tracing out the poor character's path by the ministry, it's good, very needful, very blessed. It's not the foundation. The things which belong to our favoured denomination, the truths that are spoken, revealed, sung of, very, very sweet and precious, very blessed indeed. Friends, let me speak faithfully. It's not the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, we do not being pedantic. But friends, those that God deals with, they need something to rest upon. It's their souls. They're hunted out. Every false refuge, they would rest here and there. You know, the Lord will bring them out of every false refuge. He hunts them out, or sends his law. And we read that word, this is not your rest, and I speak of it with regard to the Lord's dealings with his people. So that they all have to come to one place. And that is to the cross of Calvary. And see the Lord's sweet mercy there. And they would lie and rest humbly at his feet and see the Lord will remember them with the favour he bears unto his people. And what experimental truth there is in the blessed word of his grace, but there's something I want to come to, and that is this blessed work and witness, condescension, promise, revealing, especially in the fulfilling of every type and shadow. The Lord did not rest there, did he? In that law of God, it was designed to convince and to bring in guilt and shame. Never was appointed for the resting place of his dear people. No, friends, it's most needful, isn't it? But the law of God does but harden. It doesn't, I've often said, it doesn't give one sweet glimpse, does it, of mercy. There is a revealing, a knowledge of coming short. And we haven't read it in that part, but it speaks of those that are acquainted with the plague of their own heart. What a plague it is. In that sweet type in the Old Testament, it speaks of the degrees or the way in which the Lord speaks of this rest in our text. But will God indeed dwell or rest on the earth? Behold the heaven, and heaven of heaven cannot contain thee. So Solomon speaks under the influence and sweetness of his God. But it's the gospel, isn't it? That thine eyes may be open toward this house. Night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. Now, if you follow me, it speaks very much of this in a gospel sense and truth, the Lord revealing in that type and shadow of the resting place of the Lord, it is in that glorious person of the Lord Jesus, the sum and substance of the ark of grace, the very fulfilling of it, the truth of it, to be revealed, to be made known. And God is faithful. This rest is especially revealed to us in the blessed appointing of it, of the coming of the dear Redeemer. This is my rest forever. And then I was thinking of the way in which this is blessedly known. This is my rest forever, forever. And where was it? Where he was laid in that humble place, in that manger. And so in the truth of it, he has come. But what a lowly, humble, blessed way for seekers. For those that hardly can think that they can prevail. Well, the Lord can hear. Oh, this is my rest. It seems to speak of the sweet humbling of himself and the way in which this great God, in all the perfections of the God, that should so condescend to men of low estate. And there, sweetly, he is viewed, the Lord of life and glory. There's many sweet hymns. We shall probably sing them, won't we, at this season. But, you know, the truth. This is my rest. That's the first rest I want to speak of in his coming. What a glorious rest it is, isn't it? So suitably made known for poor sinners, and what condescending love is revealed in it. What a resting place that was in the sweet account. But we need faith in our hearts to view it, don't we? And were those characters that hastened to this place, this rest, as it was made known to those shepherds? Just go even unto Bethlehem. Oh, and I believe their hearts were moved to come and hasten unto him. I want to notice it in the gospel, friends. It is that sacred, blessed way in which he reveals himself. There's no room in the inn, nor in our hearts. But oh, how wonderfully he is revealed, isn't he, in the gospel. What we need is the Lord to open our poor hearts and grant us that true seeking after him. And then we shall find him. But it does need the Lord himself and all his grace to come, doesn't it, to condescend. It needs him to come right where his people. We read of him drawing near in the last chapter in Luke, very sacred part. And here, there's something very precious. Thus, Jesus himself drew near in sweet doctrine, blessed truth for the poor and the needy. That not by the way that should come seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Now, it does need the Lord to grant life, doesn't it? That life is in his Son. It does need the Lord to awaken and quicken sinners. Well, the blessed Redeemer in the gospel speaks of the appointing of the blessed Spirit of truth. And it all rests, doesn't it? It all comes to this blessed point of doctrine that Christ should dwell with man. And thus God should be pleased to get sweet glory unto his great and holy name. And O sinners, or to know a little, and the hymn writer says, and what can poor lost sinners say once they get a view? And hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you. Well, we seek then to lay in our thoughts this foundation which is laid. The ministers of God must never preach as if they're laying a foundation. The apostles speak of that one foundation by experience, by knowledge. I have laid the foundation. It is that speaking of him, isn't it? Knowledge of him, I must hasten. He hath chosen Zion. Well, friends, what is that to us? Zion, it is the place where the Lord will gather his people, that they're all gathered, excuse me, unto Zion, or they're gathered together. And the type of it is Jerusalem. Many, many sweet things contained in the word concerning Zion, the city of our God, inhabitants of Zion, and bless souls that are brought to Zion with their faces thitherward. They're drawn, that they're brought, and the Lord puts a need in their heart that they have to come, if so be there may be hope. And also, friends, there is a sweet truth in these words. That is where the Lord meets his people, in Zion, or the place where he has chosen. There's much glorious truth in it. The Lord has chosen Zion. Oh, it's that blessed truth of him resting in his love, isn't it? Resting in the covenants of his love and mercy. How faithful to it. How gloriously revealed. We have it in the epistle to the Galatians. I must pass on. He was gloriously made known, as we read in the Gospel. He speaks of it in the Gospel of his grace. And in the fourth chapter, very quickly, it is that fullness of time, isn't it? It speaks of God sending forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of Son. I must hasten. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. It is necessary to speak of this word in regard to his church upon his heart, given unto him. And these characters are, they're gathered out of this world and they're brought unto Zion. It speaks of it as that place where the Lord will gather with his people. He has chosen in the sweet truth of his word, and he rests in his word. The Lord hath chosen Zion. Now experimentally, that is where the Lord brings his people, to be where the Lord might be known, where they might hear something for their souls, something for that aching void, that great trouble of sin and much need of the Lord to appear, to come and to remember them. Well, in Zion, friends, he remembers each one. That is the truth of it. Not one left out, but each known to God. I was thinking of that sweet hymn 366 that speaks of it, of those gatherings unto him. We have no such lengths to go as those of old, nor wander far abroad. Where are thy saints? Well, they're sinners, but they're called to be saints. Assemble now. There is a house for God, and there God will dwell. And there he will rest in his dear covenant love and purposes of grace divine. And he cannot be moved. And our sins cannot remove the surety. This one is gloriously made known among the assemblies. Would to God we might know it by the power of the Lord, moving the hearts of his people like the tops of the mulberry trees. And those that know the Lord know what it is when the Lord has graciously come and granted them a little life and knowledge that it is the Lord. There's no better place, is there, than his house when the Lord is there. And he says, this is my rest forever. Now, what it speaks of is his dear covenant love and purpose among his people. Now, what is it? He will bless them. What it needs is the blessed Spirit to move our hearts aright. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. No, it has an application, doesn't it, regarding his dear people. Arise, O King of grace, arise and enter into thy rest. Lo, thy church awaits with longing eyes, thus to be owned and blessed. Enter with all thy glorious train, thy spirit and thy word. All that the ark did once contain could no such grace afford. Here let the Son of David reign in Zion, the assemblies of his people. But since he must have the preeminence, no flesh or glory, nothing that must rise up, and he must reign. It does need the Lord to teach and to chasten and to lay low, that you know the Lord is pleased to revive the hearts of his people and raise up the slain. Speak a word in season and grant that truth of his word in his covenant love and purpose is because I live, ye dying soul shall live also. As it does need the Lord to grant that preparation of the heart in man, doesn't it? And the answer of the tongue, which is from the Lord. It does speak very much of this profound, sacred truth of the Lord among his people, and then that company are brought unto him, and they're such as are all poor sinners, and they're brought very low, and the Lord deals with them as with sons and daughters. What love, what mercy. And then they're tempted and tried and buffeted, but here's the same. Go unto Joseph. It says, what he saith unto you, do. Do you have to go to Joseph every day and pour out your heart before him? Do you have to say, Lord, cleanse me, forgive, Lord, do come and revive us again? Now, friends, it all rests in this, whether the Lord is pleased to do so or no, and that's what's in the hearts of God's people. Will he come to me? Well, the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation among the poor and the needy and those that have no helper. It doesn't need an upright heart. I believe it is right to say there is an order in Zion. We do it in these solemn days when the Lord is sweetly exalted, and there's that desire to cleave unto him and his blessed word and truth, that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is my rest. Now, what is it to you and me? Oh, that the great God of heaven, that to rest and abide among his people. Oh, it's because the Lord will attend unto their needs. In his great mercy, once he loves, he never leaves or casts off. Himself, he gives us still. Well, some may say yes, but you seem to speak of it in easy terms. No, friend. We're amongst the sons and daughters of Zion. We've been in school. We'll know what it is to take that yoke and learn of him. We shall have to know much humbling and much chastening. No, it speaks of his reign and rule, doesn't it? The Lord is there. We have it in the word. Or may it sweetly be known. The Lord among his people. That how soon the spirit can be grieved. The Lord keep us. No, it speaks in the glorious fulfillment of it. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. Well, it is the Lord's blessed work and witness, isn't it, in the hearts of his people, to bless them with his divine truth, to fill up their heart with those sweet truths of his love and mercy. It's in his word, isn't it? Now he rests. We have it in John. It's the word. He rests in his sacred word, friends. We don't need to cleave to it. We do need the Lord to raise up those servants of God to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And he speaks here of this sweet work and witness and truth abundantly. I will abundantly bless a provision. Now why is it so sacred? It's how far off these poor characters get sometimes. They look to the Lord, don't they? Left for a moment. That they may even be left to seek after something which is not at all according to his will. The world will seek that increase, won't they? Would spread themselves like a green bay tree. Now, the matter is this, God grants the blessing of his sweet providence. But you know, we do need to be very clear about things. We can rest in the knowledge of the truth and not have any life in our hearts, but just know what is right and what is wrong. We need to feel and know our interest in the blessed truth of the Saviour among his people. And how he sows in hearts, doesn't he? How he grants a word in season and blesses his people with that word. We have it here. I will abundantly bless her provision. Well, it's the fullness, isn't it? You haven't got beyond the fullness yet. Poor soul that feels so cut off, so far off. Fullness resides in Jesus our head. Never abides to answer our need. Well, it's in his time, in his way, isn't it? But this abundant blessing, it's not upon Mount Sinai, is it? It's at Calvary, and the sweet truth of it, the blessings, free grace, pardon for sin, the sweet gathering of his people unto him, longing hearts brought to follow the Lamb with us wherever he goeth, like those dear godly women that followed him with so many tears and sorrows, but they would be anointing him and waiting round that blessed tomb. Now you see, the truth is this, there's no abundant blessing without the death and resurrection. of the Lord himself. So great is the guilt and sin of his people. Not only do they need the atonement, they need the resurrection. They need the Lord to grant them that sweet interest by that renewing in their hearts of that work of his grace until their hearts are brought to live and know that truth. Because I live, as I have said, ye shall live also. And then just a few more thoughts that seem to spring up. Something here to rest upon. Those weary souls, this rest of Christ. In his dear covenant, love and faithfulness. Whatever he receives sinners, but they must be brought on mercy's ground. He doesn't cast them away. He does not cast off his people. They seek to know a little of his divine faithfulness, for their sins abound, and their guilt is testifying against them. And sometimes they are so low in their hearts. But this rest is the same. It speaks of it in another particular way, doesn't it? That Christ is the rest of his people. So there's another sweet application. It is that foundation and resting place for sinners, and all through the finished work, not unfinished, not to be finished by man, but finished by the Son of God for such poor souls as we, but we need faith from God himself, the author of it and the finisher of it. Now the Lord's people are brought to rest, friends, from their own works, bad or good. And they have to rest only upon him. That's the end of the Lord. Causes people to rest and to come and fall at his feet. No, it does need the Lord to work it so deeply in the hearts of his people, poor with bread. Why, it speaks of Christ, doesn't it? The bread of life, I will abundantly bless this provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. No, it speaks very much of the Lord breaking the bread of life, granting a crumb of mercy, or that token for good. You know, the Lord's people live on the tokens, the charity of their God, don't they? They need him as much as he broke that bread. We read in the Word, and there were 12 baskets full. There is a lad here, 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Enough, friends. I will abundantly bless her provision. And I will satisfy her poor with bread. Poor and needy. And granted grace to be content with such things as I have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, we do need the enlarging, don't we, in our hearts of this sweet truth. I will abundantly bless her provision. Well, in leaving it, I want to direct you to him that was upon my mind, 139. I was thinking of it, friends, this supply of the wants and the faithfulness of our God, the the resting of God in his covenant love and mercy. And what he is forever. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. And this is the word. Two verses. The sure provisions of my God. Attend me all my days. O may thy house, where he rests, be my abode, and all my work be praise there. Would I find a settled rest. While others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. We have just hinted a few things. The doctrine has been very precious on my mind. The truth of it, it is fulfilled in God's purposes of grace. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Lord, forgive all amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. 133.
O Lord, we are reminded in the last few lines of that need of a true thankfulness to thy great and holy name for thy many mercies, thy great goodness. What hath God wrought? To take us under thy care and keeping. Maybe go home with something this evening. May the Lord be with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us. Amen.